is Off Stage and On the Air, performance number 668. I am Lisa Sheps. I'm your itinerant co-host, whatever that means. Actually, I'm the host. And Nicole Shiro, who is just coming into the studio right now, is our beautiful co-host. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Don't go away. We'll be right back. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. It is Wednesday, May 11th, 2022. On the show today, we have a very special guest, a diverse space dance and Tony Bravo talking about their show, Sistema Axioma Dilemma. And of course, Nicole and I are going to have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, Chicago, Lexington, Kentucky, and Norway. Stick around. Guilt and shame, Jesus' name, church every Sunday. These are my memories. These are my memories.
What are they, Lisa?
They're my memories.
Your memories?
Nicole Shiro, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little frazzled from the traffic
today. Yeah, you came in a little late, just at the last minute. But you know what? You pulled it through. You made it.
I made it. That's the point, right?
Yep.
With the jazz hand.
So listen, before we get started, I just want to thank Kim Simpson for another wonderful International Folk Bazaar. And I know I've said it on the show before, I totally dig international music. What the kids are calling world music. I love it.
I do too. And I always love listening to Kim's show. You know why? Because music is universal, Lisa.
It's universal, but you know when there's a kind of a feel to what we're calling world music and whatnot. And I remember when I lived in Chicago, going to one of the Halsted street fairs, and there was a band there that played world music that was just, I was just enthralled, and I don't get enthralled by music all that often.
I love it.
Anyway, let's introduce Tony Bravo, who's here with us to join in our discussion. Hi, Tony.
Hello.
Right into the microphone, Tony.
Right here.
Oh, wait. No, you know what? I say right into the microphone, but it helps if I turn it on first.
Ah.
There you go.
Magic
that is.
Of radio.
Tony, it's been pre-pandemic for us.
I know. It's been a long time.
It's good to see you.
It's fabulous to see you, too.
Yeah, I was trying to think when I saw you were coming in today. I was like, I don't remember the last time.
I don't. Well, I'm glad you're here. That's exciting. The last time I saw you was at my theater. So
correct.
I don't think I've seen you in the studio, so it's good to have you here. So did you recognize that song, Memory Song, Nicole or Tony?
It's from Strange Loop.
It's from Strange Loop, 11 Tony nominations.
A lot of Tony nominations.
Yep. So
for all sorts of things.
Yeah, this year's Tonys, coming back from basically a two-year hiatus. I'm not counting last year's Tonys. I think they're very interesting.
You mean when Aaron Tveit was up against Aaron Tveit?
When Aaron Tveit was
up against himself.
Yep. And he won.
I can't believe that.
Oddly
enough. The
competition
was so fierce.
Right.
So, Tony, have you seen any of this? Have you up on the Broadway scene at all?
Only through the television shows that are available.
True. And there've been several.
A good amount going on.
Yeah.
So, best new musicals, MJ. I'm surprised yet not surprised all at the same time. Mr. Saturday Night, Paradise Square, Six, and A Strange Loop. I think it's a very interesting...
I laugh because it said, you know how they put it in order? It says Six in a Strange Loop, and I laugh, and I'm like, Six was on A Strange Loop.
That's true. It was.
Like,
Six, Broadway shut down the day of the opening of their purported opening night performance on Six. So they've had a very interesting...
Right, because you think of it when Moulin Rouge and everything, but that was the different, and you're like, oh, wait. Yep. So you are up for this eligible. Oh.
So what was missing from this is Diana the Musical, no surprise, or Mrs. Doubtfire didn't make the final cut.
No.
Not unhappy with those two choices, quite frankly.
No.
And then the Best Musical Revival, Caroline. So there was only four shows that were eligible for this. And so they can't do all of them, although I don't know why. So they did three. They did Carolina Change, Company, and The Music Man. They did not notably do the latest one to open, which was Funny Girl.
That's, yeah. And I thought it was, didn't it make the eligibility time frame?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah,
too.
It just didn't make it. Weird. It got a couple of other nominations. So it's interesting that of the, and in one of the articles I have here, which hopefully I'll find, there's the number of Tony. There are, of the eligible shows, some almost like 75 or 80% of shows got some kind of nomination.
I saw show titles speckled throughout.
You did. Not only did you feel that way, it actually happened.
Yes, but that Strange Loop just 11. Woo-wee.
Yep, and Strange Loop is it's good. I've been listening to have you heard the music, Tony, from Strange Loop?
Only a couple of pieces.
Yeah.
The Memories one.
Yeah, the one we just played. Yeah. See, I knew that you knew that one. That's why I played it. Here it is. I just want to see if it's not in there. But let's just keep talking about some of the nominations, oh my God, I'm having such a hard time.
Where do you want to go? Plays? Musicals?
No, I want to get my thing open.
Oh.
So it's nothing that you can help me with. There they are. Best New Play, Clydes. I wanted to see, and we could have. We both could have because they streamed it.
But it wasn't when I could. There was something that I couldn't, that I didn't couldn't make it.
Simone from our theater saw it.
Lynn Nottage, right?
Hangman, it is indeed. Mm-hmm. Hangman. Lynn Nottage had two shows on Broadway.
I know.
Hangman, Skeleton Crew, The Lehman Trilogy, which had a zillion nominations. And The Minutes. Passover did not make the cut.
I found that strange. I found that really strange. The Lehman Brothers, when that first opened up, I was back home living at home doing my family stuff. So I watched a lot of interviews and things on it. And I'm not surprised by that. And from people I know who saw it. So that one didn't shock me, but Passover did.
Yeah, Passover was amazing. And the interesting thing about this year, so we've often talked about Broadway and the Tonys not having a Best Ensemble category. And oftentimes it's not needed, but this time it was. Like the Lehman Trilogy had no lead. So therefore they got four, I think, nominations for actor. That is interesting, and that could have been where...
I think the only other conundrum time we've ever had that was when was with Alice Ripley and Emily Skinner in Sideshow, and they both got nominated for Best Actress, which mm-hmm. was like, they didn't know what to do, because yep. they're like, wait, but you're... what? Wait, so...
What also didn't make the cut was Dana H. didn't make Best for Play.
You're right, didn't.
I forgot what it was called. In a Room, the one that played in conjunction with Dana H. Neither of them made it for Best Play.
You know what? Now that you say that, oh, yeah.
Dana H. did get a nomination for Best Director for Les Walters, along with Sam Mendes for the Lehman Trilogy, Neil Pepe for American Buffalo, and Camille Brown for Colored Girls Who Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Was Enough. And that's, you know, that's sad. You know, they announced that talked about it last week, that they announced they're closing way early, that they're not getting houses. One of the podcasts... months early. They weren't getting houses. But did you hear about this Pay It Forward campaign? They had a social media campaign. Pay It Forward had all these people just buying tickets to For Colored Girls, whether they were going or not, to try to get their box office open. Mm-hmm. Because it got such good... and so now the question is... do they have enough to stay open past June to see if they get a Tony?
This is what I have, because remember I said last week, you know it's going to happen. It'll get the nominations.
the darn amazing show will close. Everybody will see this at the Tonys and want to go. And then it's just...
And it's gone.
This vicious cycle of missed opportunity.
Yep. So that's interesting. The Best Actor category was the one that had all sorts of Lehman Trilogy nominations. Simon Russell Beale, Adam Goodley, Adrian Lester all for the Lehman Trilogy. David Threlfall for Hangman, Sam Rockwell for American Buffalo, David Morse, How I Learned to Drive, also Mary Louise Parker got a nomination for that as well, and Ruben Santiago Hudson for Lackawanna Blues, which I almost forgot about.
Lackawanna Blues?
Yeah, which was his one-man show that was just, everybody was blown away by it. Do you know anything about it, Tony?
I'm sorry, it's me, workaholic.
I know.
I'm all the time
and the studio and this and that. But yes, I heard my dear friend Hawk mentioned that that was an amazing, super monologue. Just beautiful acting and apparently also beautiful blocking, which is something that I just don't think people notice.
Right, and I would guess you do as a dancer and choreographer. That's that movement and the pictures that happen on stage are very important.
They're so important.
And the gestural ideas and so that's why I was told about it.
Yep, amazing.
I like that though. I like that. I like what you shared. That was
When I go see a show, especially an ensemble piece, you look and see how they're doing the staging, especially when you have a whole bunch of people on stage. Those directors that can handle that and make those pictures work out really well, that doesn't seem clumpy or chaotic or static.
Yeah.
I just have so much respect for them. Of course, I'm one of those directors.
For sure.
in my mind. Let's see. Best featured actress in a play, Uzo Aduba for Clydes, as well as Carrie Young. I want to say that. Rachel Dratch and Julie White both for POTUS. And Kenita Miller for Color Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When Rainbow Is Enough. That's another one that could very well do for ensemble. There's no lead in for Colored Girls.
No. That I was just thinking that. I feel like there's a few shows like that. Yeah, we do have a few shows like that on stage right now.
Yes, true. Let's see. I'm not going to read everything.
No, but did you... I did laugh that the one musical you and I are perplexed by was up for best score.
Which one?
Flying Over Sunset. LSD trip with Cary Grant and the random people. We were like, that sounds like it should be a musical. And it is.
Well, and what I completely forgot about it because it was a while ago was Paradise Square. And we're going to hear a little bit of music from Paradise Square a little later. And we're going to talk about it a little bit because I did. Yeah, I had to Wikipedia it to see to re-see what it was about, which is Paradise Square is pre-Civil War in New York, the Irish and the black communities used to have these really sort of fun dance-offs in Three Points until Lincoln started the subscription. What do you call when you get drafted? What's that word? Anyway.
The draft?
No, well, there's a word for it.
Lottery?
No. Anyway, he drafted it, started the draft riots and it happened with the black community against the Irish community.
Selective service?
No, I'll come up with it later, but I know that you're like a dog with a bone. Probably come up with it later. Checking the time.
I don't like not knowing.
I'll come up with it, but it starts with an S. Let's go back to music. I totally skipped that part. And I'm looking for best original score. Flying Over Sunset, as you said, with Tom Kitt and Michael Corey. Mr. Saturday Night by Jason Robert Brown and Amanda Green. Paradise Square, music by Jason Howland and Larry Kerwin, with lyrics by Nathan Tyson and Mazi Azare. Six, Toby Marlowe and Lucy Moss, and A Strange Loop by Michael R. Jackson. So the interesting thing, there's been a lot...
It's such a diverse, eclectic sound, story, persons. Like, I just love everything about
And
the nominations.
There are nominees that have been around a long time, like
Jason Robert Brown?
Yes, thank you. Jason Robert Brown, JRB.
I was afraid I was going to give you the wrong answer.
And then there were people that are just brand new, like the pair that did Six. I mean, they were there was a college thing that mm-hmm. they did. So there are so many firsts in this. So
many.
L. Morgan Lee, Strange Loop, is the first out trans performer to be nominated for a Tony. Mm-hmm. Adam Rigg, scenic designer for Skin of Our Teeth, first non-binary designer to be nominated. First non-binary composer lyricist for Liana Blaine Cruz and Camille Brown. I got the wrong one. Toby Marlowe of Six, first non-binary composer. Liana Blaine Cruz and Camille Brown are the second and third black women to be nominated for Best Director, which is reprehensible, really.
Yeah, I know.
Why did it take that long? I think this is interesting. Anna Fleisch's Tony-nominated set for Hangman was thrown out in March of 2020 because they lost a theater and completely redesigned into this new one. Mm-hmm. What were the other? There's just so much stuff. So 68 of the nominees are first-timers, and of those, 40 are their very first Broadway show.
That is just what I think is so spectacular.
That is fabulous.
Yep. Yeah.
And just by and large, more women and people of color in general than we've ever had before. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that
not just on the stage, but behind the
correct.
Scenes,
everywhere.
Like everywhere.
And that's actually more important. So many times when we looked at diversity, we said, oh, let's just throw a diverse face out
right.
to public
right.
facing. But what's more important are the people behind the scenes mm-hmm. and the people that actually with the air quotes power are also people of color.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping it's not just a flash in the pan and it's really signaling...
not just a trend.
Yeah, a really change in the way we do things.
Won't it?
So the Tonys happen in June. I forgot the date, but Adriana DeBose is the host and I'm very happy about that.
Yes. No, I am excited about her. The pre-show stuff, I was like, womp womp.
Well, so the pre-show stuff, they haven't decided who's going to be... hosting that, but the entire ceremony.
Julianne Hough and Darren Criss.
Oh, okay. But that's all stuff
see,
that's
again,
on.
See?
I like Julianne
Hough. It's not
Hough.
Bad, but it's womp womp. It's womp, not that exciting.
But also, this is before the main broadcast, which is going to be broadcast on CBS for the whole thing. Not like they did last year, which they split it up between Paramount Plus and CBS. But there is a special, the first part that Julianne Hough and Darren Criss are doing are on Paramount Plus before the Tonys.
Mm-hmm. And it's June 15th.
June 15th. Thank you.
15th, which is later for them, but at least they're back in June.
Yeah. So that's the Tonys. Anything else? That Tony! I just thought of that. We're talking about the Tonys, and Tony is right here with us.
You know, I think maybe we planned that. Let the listener unfold with that, Lisa.
We did plan that. So the Pulitzer Prize was announced in drama, and it's James Imes. Imes, by the way, is spelled... I-J-A-M-E-S. It looks like I, James, but it's pronounced Imes. Won the Pulitzer for Fat Ham, which is a take on Hamlet. Tomorrow hasn't even been performed in front of a live audience yet. Tomorrow is the first performance in front of a live audience.
Full performance.
Yep. At the
really?
Public. Yep. So it's a co-production with the Public Theater and the National Black Theater, and it's going to be done at the Public.
All right.
I have to keep looking up the pronunciation. He is part of a shared leadership program at the Wilma Theater, which is a new way of looking at leadership. So they're evidently doing, I think they have three or four artistic directors that are all working together. And I think that's interesting.
It is interesting.
This article that
my faces don't work on air.
What?
My faces that I'm making.
Oh, I didn't see them. I'm sorry. I totally missed the faces.
Yeah, but so did the listeners.
So did the listeners. They should be tuning into the video. So this is a article in the New York Times by Michael Paulson, but it is set up as an interview. So there's interview questions, and he asks him about how is it to do this shared leadership, and he said he's really good, and I believe that. And it just takes a lot more time to make any decisions. You can't do anything.
I think the decision making would be the hard time.
Yep, things don't happen quickly. Mm-mm. So we'll talk about this briefly. The Palace Theater, we've talked about this before, was being raised up 30 feet, and it has made the 30-foot mark. And there's an article in the Times talking about it, and I would encourage folks to take a look at that. You can find, there's a link at offstageonair.com to show you that. It's got, so it used a system of 34 hydraulic jacks to hoist the 14 million pound venue at a speed of a quarter of an inch an hour. It took 4 months to go from 0 to 30. And if you look at, there's all sorts of pictures, and there's a
hydraulic
scaffolding.
Lifts are fascinating.
Yeah. Well, there's a scaffolding next to this with the thing, and you could watch it go up.
Oh, because they did like a time-lapse camera?
No. If you were like walking along, you could just look see where it was. It's very interesting. It made me want to look up the Palace Theater, so I did a Wikipedia on it. And I actually, when I look at the shows that were in the Palace Theater, I'm not sure that I've ever stepped foot in that theater because I hadn't seen any. But it was built in the 1800s as vaudeville. Like, mm-hmm. And it worked as a vaudeville site for a long time. And it was, I'm not able to turn my pages. The theater was originally built by what's his name? I just lost his name. I'll come up with it at some point. Martin Beck, who was a vaudeville performer and producer back in the day. And it operated as a vaudeville for a long time, and then it went under disrepair in the 30s and 40s and turned into a movie house. And then it didn't make it as a movie house. And it opened again. Do y'all want to guess when it opened again as a Broadway theater? Any guesses?
Isn't it like the 50s or 60s?
Yeah. This is true. It attempted to go back to vaudeville, but in, I'm going to be looking, in the 1970s, I think. No, 1966. Opened up as a Broadway house again, which I think it's interesting, the way these...
It's gone
and when we think of Broadway houses now, to think that it was... in disrepair, nobody was using it, it was sitting empty. But I remember when I moved to New York, there's a whole bunch of old theaters that were no longer theaters.
Yeah.
And all those ones on 42nd Street were not theaters. Mm-mm. So here's some of the notable productions. In 1966, let's talk about, there's a big dance portion of this show that
I got to be a part of, watching the whole New Amsterdam get redone when Lion King was first coming in.
So you didn't want to continue talking about what I was talking about?
No, it just made me think of how fascinating. I was actually in watching a process of a theater. It's fascinating.
Awesome. So in 1966, can you guess what show was there? Big show? Dance? Think of jazz hands?
42nd Street?
Sweet Charity.
Oh, Sweet Charity. Oh, wow.
Some of the other ones, George M., Applause, Man of La Mancha. Speaking of Sweet Charity, Shirley MacLaine live at the Palace. Mm-hmm. Beauty and the Beast, West Side Story in 2009, Liza at the Palace.
I was about to say, you know you have to get Liza at the Palace in there, please.
I do. Your show, the revival, the 2011-2012 revival of Annie. American Paris, Sunset Boulevard.
That 2011 revival of Annie that I went to the day before Hurricane Sandy hit, that one.
2012.
Or 2000, yeah.
Yep. Who did you see in it?
That would have been what's his name from Australia who's so good? And I saw
Lila Crawford.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anthony Warlaw.
I thought we were going to not have enough stuff to talk about, but we barely made a dent.
Yeah.
We're going to have to take a break. Hopefully after later in the day, we can come back and revisit some of these other things, depending on how much we gibber and jabber. But we're going to take a little break. We're going to listen to I'd Be a Soldier from Paradise Square. And I will tell you, on offstageonair.com, there's a link to a YouTube video of this, of them recording it. It's actually worth watching. So this is Nathaniel Stampley and Sydney DuPont singing, what'd I say it was? I'd be a soldier. And these are the two of the black characters talking about, if I could, I would be a soldier in the Civil War. Here it is.
I'd be a soldier.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa and Nicole.
Nicole and Lisa.
Yep. And we are so lucky to have Tony Bravo here to talk to us about You Control Your Own Volume. We show how the sausage is made here on Ground Floor
Theater. We haven't
done
that yet. I don't think since we've been back on air. That was great.
So we have Tony Bravo here to talk to us about her company, Diverse Space Dance, and her show that's coming up called Sistema Axioma Dilemma!
Yes.
So tell us about the show, Tony. First of all, again, officially welcome back to Offstage and on the Air.
Thanks for being
back.
It's
so good to see you.
It's lovely to see you both and this fabulous space. And the company is actually mostly a youth company. It's Diverse Space and Diverse Space Youth Dance Company. The idea is that we are a company of kids to young adults, but not a studio.
What's the age range? What's the youngest oldest?
We start them at 8, mm-hmm. and some of them graduate by 19, 20, and they go their way into stardom.
I love that.
Well, of course they do.
We began 10 years ago, more or less, and we have produced 16 professionals, so it's pretty good record.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty
for
amazing.
And did they start when they were younger, so you really are just watching this entire journey?
Especially those that started very young and they, you know, turned into serious dancers eventually. And then some of them went to different places in the United States, but also in Europe to study.
That's what I was going to ask you, whether they had diverged, gone over. So where are some of your ex-students, like who's the farthest flung?
The farthest right now is in Switzerland.
Hmm.
There is a lovely, fabulous dancer. They are in Portugal. Then there is another one that is dancing with Stump.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And several people that have gone into more independent choreography and dance careers.
So with this show that you're doing here, and we should say that it's going to be performed at the Vortex, how many dancers are performing?
There are 12 of us. Yes, I still perform.
I love it.
And this is for the regular evening performances. The matinees that are happening on Saturday will have an extra group of 8 little piggies.
I love that.
That vary between 8 and 10 years of age, and only on that Saturday. And the show has to do with what we receive in terms of information about what is true and what is not. As in, an axiom is something that doesn't need verification, doesn't need to be explained. It is what it is, especially if you talk in terms of scientific concepts and mathematics, obviously. So there's no way you believe or not believe.
Right.
I love that.
And systems in our research tend to be talked about as an I believe in the system, I don't believe in the system, but truly, believe is not, in our opinion, the right word. Because a system is something that is constantly evolving.
Sure.
And if it doesn't evolve, it stagnates. And if the participants or the parts of the system are not working properly, then something needs to be done. And so that is beyond belief. You have to keep it working for what it was projected to be doing.
Sure.
And if it's not, then you need to disrupt and go into either renewal or subsystems that might be able to assist or take over. And yes, a system is something that either works or not, and either does or not what mm-hmm. you planned.
True. And where does the dilemma come in?
The dilemma
dun, dun, dun.
Is the idea that, especially now, we get a lot of ideas and I want to say promotion of ideas. And especially in social media, we get a lot of assertions of this is the system, this is the way. And the idea of pretending that a system can be truth and only truth is a little bit of a contradiction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And therefore, do we choose to get the facts together and figure out how to relate to that system as what it is, and then relate to other things that are for real, that are true, like Fibonacci numbers, things like that, and distinguish.
Mm-hmm.
And so truth is not applicable either.
So of all this, you've certainly talked about a lot of things, and you've obviously done some research in it. And my little crazy linear mind is going, all right, how do we show that in dance?
Several ways. One of them is our basic tenets as dancers is what we study. And we were exploring all of the ideas about how to belong in the space, how to relate to the space, how to relate to each other in space, how to belong to this planet that pulls us with this thing called gravity, and how to not just acknowledge it, but use it. So all of the basic ideas and concepts that movement has were our axioms. And then we built systems around all of those concepts. And we also built around the idea that we are in a relationship on the stage and in a relationship with each other and with the audience, and how we project and connect both with each other and the others through all sorts of things like posture, gesture, expansive action, and also focus, as in literally looking at each other in the eyes and looking at our audience as acknowledging they're part of this.
Wow. Because they are. Mm-hmm. And you, I don't know whether you're, I mean, I know you have a choreographer listed that is not you.
Correct.
Are you choreographing any of the pieces?
I'm choreographing most of it, but with a lot of input from my dancers. Mm-hmm. And the other choreographer is Michael Jahoda from Amsterdam, who has worked with us for many years. Actually, it's my oldest friend, probably. and he Zoomed in.
Oh, really?
For phrases that we learned. And then we adjusted it to systems that became a full choreo.
That's really amazing.
You know,
I've been involved in musical theater. I've worked for the Joffrey Ballet. I'm not a dancer or a choreographer, but I've watched a lot of choreography being put onto dancers, and it's a very physical process in many ways. You're hands-on. How does that work on Zoom?
Well, in our system,
you're seeing air quotes by Tony
air
Bravo.
Air quotes. One of the main things that I try to get these gorgeous dancers to understand is that motion is universal, and that we have all the same joints, the same ability to direct in space, all of those variants. And therefore, if everything is very well explained to them and very well demonstrated, which is what Michael does mm-hmm. in an amazing way, yes, they understand, and they relate to terminology that is not but real language, language that we all use, but very specific.
But does it take a middle person to, in order for that to really work? So in other words, if I've got a troupe of dancers out there on the stage and I've got a choreographer on Zoom, is there someone between my dancers and that choreography helping to interpret what the choreographer is saying so that you can actually do that physical piece that I was talking about?
In essence, it should not need to happen.
I love that.
But if it's needed, yes, obviously, because among other things, we have our ways to define our directions. Mm-hmm. And so if one of them says, I am not sure exactly what Michael is needing here, knowing Michael for years and years and years, I try to explain. And then Michael says, I agree. That's what I'm talking about.
Got it.
Is it almost also like a mirror image of something where you can see it in the Zoom for a minute and then Michael can see the dancers?
Absolutely, yes. Yes, exactly.
Imagine that energy like through everything. You know, we're all energy. Everything is energy. And to have that through that in your system, about the system. I don't know. I just find this so like inside.
Yeah.
The beauty about this energy is that we are very passionate about all of this, mm-hmm. and that we all understand the same conceptual situation for what the themes are. So we discussed, both the dancers and I, and Michael and I, and Michael and the dancers, we've discussed all of this and spark, constant.
Just so cool.
That's amazing. And you have original music.
Correct.
By Victoria Schwartz.
That's correct.
At what point do you do the music? Does the choreography inform the music? Music inform the choreography, or a combination of both?
It can be a combination mostly. What I have in the way that I build things, we learn phrases of motion. So we put pieces of fabric together, and then sometimes they flip in different order, and sometimes we chop one of the phrases and put another in between the two. And so that is constantly changing.
Ah.
Therefore, sometimes what we just need is a loop of rhythm. And it depends on what we've been using, either our internal rhythm or the music of, you know, some thing that has been bought, something that is commercial. We then talk to Vicky and we tell her, we're using this and this and this. And so the rhythms are all in there, but we need a combination of ideas, just like we combine our phrases of motion. And she comes up with magic. Normally, although I have to say, we normally also use two or three songs that are already piped.
They're already in there.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Now, we could talk about this all day long. We're running out of time, but you guys are performing at the Vortex, which is not typically a theater I would equate with dance.
Correct, except we opened the space a bit by eliminating some of the seating.
Mm-hmm.
We put a marley floor on it.
Oh, wow.
We also opened the space by putting drapery on the walls that makes it look more spacious.
Sure.
Yeah.
Usually whites. There's a little bit of blue and yellow this time because of a piece dedicated to Ukraine.
Yep.
And yeah, we transform it a little.
Wonderful.
I love that.
Now, you open tomorrow.
Correct.
Is that correct? Tell me what is it? I'm assuming, since a lot of your performers are youngsters, that this is available for all ages.
Correct. All ages and all types of minds.
All types of minds. Well, it is diverse space dance. And I know when we were talking before we went on the air, we were discussing your dancers and we were using they pronouns for all of them. And you had mentioned that most of your company is...
part of my company. I would not yet classify everybody.
No. Right, but a good
but
portion
yes,
of your company.
A good portion of our company has been always... either non-binary or definitely in idea that is not traditional in terms of our preferences of love.
Yep. Love so it. Wonderful. Very well said. So you close on the 21st, and where can folks go to get information about your show?
Vortexrep.org.
Yep. And also you could, I'm assuming, go to diversespace.com as well.
Correct. You can. It's actually diversespacedance.com. Yeah.
That's what it says I here. Like, I just decided not to read it.
Elise actually did write that.
Well, Toni Bravo, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
So nice to invite us.
Oh, wait. You know what I promised that we would do and then I didn't do it? We were going to play a little bit of the music from the show that Victoria did. And I was going to play it under as I'm doing right now. And then when we were done talking, I was going to let it go. But it's got these beautiful notes of cello and flute and things like that.
Yes,
it's really
we have
beautiful
a full
piece.
Band accompanying us.
In all that space at the Vortex. You just throw in a whole band.
Yes, ma'am.
Excellent.
I love that.
So I also am lucky about this because we've been doing this for almost 6 years.
Great. Well, again, thank you so much
thank
for being
you.
On Offstage and on the Air. And
thank you.
We're going to just keep going. We'll get you on again. Folks, that was Toni Bravo, Diverse Space Dance Show, Sistema Axioma Dilemma. Plays at the Vortex from May 12th through 21st. For more information, vortexrep.org or diversespacedance.com. And let's just listen to more of this music. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP. We've been talking to Toni Bravo, and Toni has graciously decided to stay with us and continue our conversation.
I love it.
I do too. We're going to briefly talk about some local stuff, and then we're going to try to circle back and hit some of those other national things we wanted to talk about. I do want to say that as I was searching through Now Playing Austin, which is back. It had disappeared for a little while. It didn't disappear, but it just kind of went inactive. Mm-hmm. But it is back. And I noticed that Comedy Sports is back.
Yes.
And I want to check, long-time listeners.
It made me think of you when I saw it, too. Yeah. I was like, Lisa.
Me too. So long-time listeners, take yourself back to 2010 and see if this rings a bell.
Hey, we're Comedy Sports Austin. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP, Hornsby, Austin, 91.7 FM.
Do something funny.
Do something funny.
Those Comedy Sports people really take direction. So anyway, they are now performing at Zach North, which is up at... near Cameron and whatever.
FM Medabad.
Yeah, whatever. It's up north. It's not, actually, it's not that far up north.
No,
so
no,
it's
no.
Not too bad. You can get information about, and those that don't know Comedy Sports, and it's an improv group. It's actually where I cut my teeth on improv back in Chicago. That's where it got its start. But it is done like a competition. And one of the things I really love about it, especially as a training ground for improv, is you cannot go blue. You cannot use cuss words. You cannot do any of that stuff, which I think makes a improv artist a little bit more
creative,
right? Because a lot of times people will use a cuss word just to make a laugh. Whereas if you did not have that as an option, you have to do other things. So I'm a big fan of Comedy Sports. And you can get information, comedysportsaustin.com. And instead of the S at the end of the sports, it's a Z. Sports.
Zing!
And then I did notice...
I'm so excited you put that on there today, because it did. It made me think of you. It made me think of the little Offstage and on the Air.
It makes me think I want to go there.
Thank you.
And our friends at Bottle Alley Theater Company have a show happening, which they usually do things at the Vortex, but they're not this time.
Where are they at? What are they doing?
Well, I don't know where it is, but it's at 901 East Applegate Drive. The blurb on it is, Sam is ready for a new world full of possibility and rebirth, but something hides in the dark. In this one-woman show, Sam must choose whether she will run or stand her ground. What would you do for a good night's rest?
Dun, dun, dun.
It also opens tomorrow, along with Tony's show, and plays through the 28th. More information, go to atxtheater.org.
Okay. I was like, where'd you find it at?
Yeah, you could also look up Bottle Alley Theater on their Instagram. It does not have it on their website. So that I know.
Maybe they'll be updating shortly.
And this will be a little tease for next week. We're going to have Zach Theaters, Somebody Loves You, Mr. Hatch. We've been talking about that for the past 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to having them actually on the show. We can talk about them. Maybe we'll get even Alan Robertson.
Maybe. And even if not, get a little piece of some music. From
yeah,
the show
but I'd rather
have Alan Robertson too.
I'm just saying. Okay, going back to some of the stuff that more on a national level, I noticed on my HBO that Dear Evan Hansen is now available to watch. So
did you watch it?
I did. And now let me preface this. Has anybody seen have you seen it? Did you see it when it came through?
The stage. Are we talking about the stage? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm one of those people. So it's kind of polarizing. There are people that love it, people that don't love it. I actually love it. I'm a fan of the show.
I have a love hate with it.
Okay.
I think the music and some of it's great, but I hate it for other reasons. I don't know. But
there's a lot of people that don't like it because of the message it brings. But
yeah,
the message
bothers me.
It doesn't bother me, but so it's neither here nor there. It's a story.
Yeah, and there's some great music in it.
Great music. I do like it. And I like the staging. It's really good. So I was looking forward to the movie, and we talked about the movie before it opened, and you were making fun of the wigs and the age of
Ben Platt,
who's, and I was going, no, the wig isn't that bad. I think he can pull it off. And I could only get through about 10 minutes of it.
I was about to say, I tried, Lisa, because I had you in the back of my head going, okay, Nicole, you're being judgmental. Lisa thinks you should try. And I tried. And that didn't try long. You lasted longer than me.
It wasn't the wig and it wasn't his age, although I tend to agree with that now and seeing it. But it was not... I don't know who directed it. It was not put together well. It wasn't put together in the way that a musical is.
That was so funny. The things that I thought would bother me and did bother me, I couldn't get past, like, what were you thinking making a musical like this?
I mean, when you look at West Side Story and Washington Heights, those were put together as a movie musical, and it had that musical energy from the get-go. And of course, when you're talking about Dear Evan Hansen, dealing with a very serious
situation, yeah.
And it's not a musical in the old school of American musical, but it is still a musical, and it still has to have that opening number has to transform the audience. And
yeah, even Rent had a better opening number.
Yeah, true.
I mean, for real, and I love that show, and you know the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just wanted to share that.
I find that disappointment,
I might try to get back into it, but I don't know. So I don't know if you saw the articles about the nude scene in Take Me Out. So Take Me Out is about gay men in baseball. It was well advertised that there would be nudity, that all cell phones were put in those bags.
Yep, that can't be unlocked unless they're in the lobby.
So somebody either knew how to open the bag or smuggled a phone in. Yeah, took a video of the nude scene and posted it. And I think.
And let me just tell you something. It happened at the same time that he was on Andy Cohen Live with Jesse Tyler Ferguson talking about the show, and it was all going on and he's trending, and I was like, oh, I'm so excited. I recorded Watch What Happens Live tonight to see him. And then I was like, oh, that is not what I expected. And he actually talked about it on the show that night.
Yeah.
Well, which was interesting.
Actually, Kate Schindel, who I don't always agree with, who's the...
She had a good statement.
She said this, and I kind of like it. As actors, we regularly agree to be vulnerable on stage in order to tell a difficult and challenging story. This does not mean that we agree to have those vulnerable moments widely shared by anyone who feels like sneaking a recording device into the theater. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important to understand, that audiences need to understand, that these actors are out there doing, are being very vulnerable out on stage. It doesn't, it's not just going out and saying words.
No, it's a lot.
It's a lot. And people,
and this is his first Broadway experience and show. He did say, you know, I've done it. I feel like I can do anything after this.
Sure.
He did say, what was his other? He did say, it's just a body. You know, and sure. He's like, it's, I don't understand the thing. It isn't gratuitous, you know, it isn't gratuitous nudity. There's a reason it's in there. He handled it way more gracefully than I would have handled it. That's all I have to say.
Well,
but Jesse Tyler Ferguson also made
I
a
would
statement
be infuriated.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people infuriated.
I think that what some people in the audience don't understand is there is an unwritten and unspoken contract between audience and performers that we are experiencing something that is
raw
real,
emotion.
Raw, and ephemeral, and mm-hmm. and we agree to certain things. And when
before
those
you take off your clothes, you're almost naked on stage when you go on
sure.
stage as a performer, you know, it's
yeah, you bare your soul too. And,
yeah.
And also it's live theater for a reason.
True. Yeah. So, and when Take Me Out, which is of course a revival, when it had its initial, I think in the 90 something.
I saw
anyway,
that.
This was pre-cell phone video, so this was not an issue back then.
Mm-mm.
But I just thought that was very interesting, and I think it's worth talking about, if for no other reason, that to try to educate audiences on they have a responsibility as audience members, I believe.
Yes.
It's not
he,
a free-for-all.
He handled it on a level I couldn't have handled it. And then Patti LuPone lost it last night.
I know, and that's another.
I was like,
don't get
typical
me,
Patty on losing it again.
Don't get me started. It was about somebody not wearing a mask. She used the F word. I don't want to get into it because I don't always agree with Patti LuPone's antics. What it didn't say in the article I read is where in the process did that occur? Was it in the middle of the show?
No, it was during a talk back.
Oh,
and
okay.
Actually, there were other audience members that have talked, because at first I was infuriated and I
okay.
learned more. Her mask had just fallen off. She wasn't just sitting there without a mask.
Well,
forever.
But she yelled back.
But
so,
she anyway. Yelled back after Patty yelled some pretty obscene, crazy things.
crazy
it
things.
Was just typical
so,
Patty.
I want to do this because this was something I was going to do last week. And I told you that Jeopardy was on. So we're going to play Jeopardy right now. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
So here's the question. This is Final Jeopardy. Here's, I think, Ken Jennings.
How much do our players know about the theater? Let's reveal the Final Jeopardy clue. In November 1864, John Wilkes Booth and his brothers were fittingly part of a performance of this Shakespeare play. 30 seconds. Good luck.
Okay. What do y'all think it is?
Disclaimer, I know the answer. We went
yeah,
through this
we
last
are, we
week,
talked about
so
it.
I can't.
Okay. So, Tony, you're telling...
No.
Shakespeare play, killing somebody.
Oh, that's whole place.
It's true.
Yeah,
that's
I was
true.
About to say, that's every play.
Killing a leader? By, well, killing Julius Caesar.
Okay.
Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. I was going to do it this way.
Mateo Roach had the lead. What was her response? What is Julius Caesar? That's correct. Ironically, John Wilkes Booth did not play one of the assassins. He played Antony. You're going to add to your total today. How much?
Okay. Well, that's great. There was so much other stuff I wanted to talk about. I don't have time to talk about it at all, but there was the Into the Woods, the Encores performance of Into the Woods with Neil Patrick Harris and Sarah Bareilles and just like everybody
they played,
else.
Did you see the little video of the...
I've seen some of the videos.
Yeah, they just released a new one yesterday of like a teaser of everything and of all of it.
Yeah, I'm not as big a fan. I don't not like Into the Woods, but I'm not... It's not...
You
the
know
end
the
all
best
deal.
Production you ever saw was,
that yours.
One I was
you
in.
Played Little Red.
That's right.
So we have... We've made it to the end of the show.
Can you believe that?
I can't. And we have more stuff to talk about. We even... you know, I didn't get to... You know what? We'll do it right now. Today in theater history.
Do stuff happen. Lisa's going to tell us.
And then we're going to hang up. I'm gonna thank you, Tony Bravo, in advance for being here again and joining in the conversation.
Thanks again.
And I did want to talk about this. Oh, well. Birthdays. Irving Berlin... 1888. Lots of eights.
Ew, that
play
is
that in
debates.
The in the
that's
thing.
A, yeah, that's a lot.
Charlotte
of them.
D'Amboise.
I love Charlotte, married to Terrence Mann.
Boyd Gaines, who, as you know, I used to play poker with. He was in the same poker game with me, and Woody. Woody from Cheers. That guy.
Woody Harrelson?
Yes. Natasha Richardson's birthday, Phil Silver's birthday, and Martha Graham. Keeping
with
the dancers.
That's some good birthdays.
Openings, I Married an Angel in 1938 at the Schubert Theater. Dance a Little Closer in 1983.
I don't know that.
Grease in 1994.
Which is getting its revival in London.
True. And Flora the Red Menace, which I really wanted to kind of talk about. Candor and Ebb
and Liza Minnelli.
And Liza Minnelli.
And isn't it Robert Morris?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's someone around in that world. Oh my goodness, I can't remember.
I can tell you if we have.
Or is it Google?
I got to be very careful because, you know, Texas Music Mixtape is up next. DJ Mark is here. He's literally holding the microphone, trying to grab it away from me. And I am literally holding him back. I thought I had the Wikipedia for Flora the Great Menace. Oh, here it is. I do have it. Let's see if it gives us the cast in our last few seconds. It does not, other than Liza Minnelli. But anyway, we're going to go away with a little bit of that music, if I can cue it up, because I did everything out of order.
Bob Dishy. It's not who I thought.
Yeah, I don't know who Bob Dishy is. I'm just going to have to say that.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah, so...
I think it was one, if I remember, they were writing it for Barbara, but Barbara didn't want to do it.
You were correct. Very good.
Yes,
But we have to go. Texas Music Mixtape is up. We'll see you guys next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air from Flora the Red Menace. This is Liza Minnelli singing Dear Love. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Do you know how you feel on the very first day of May, Harry? When you are getting ready to march in your parade. You know, excited and happy and warm all over, Harry. Well, the way that you feel on the first day of May is the way I could feel on this 14th day of May.